From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Welcome to the Green Side. This is a side that is green. Green pastures. God bless you. Wow. Beautiful. Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome. God bless you. Let's just pray. Just speak in tongues. Speak in tongues tonight. Let's pray. Let's start with a word of prayer. Pray. Somebody speaking just wherever you are. Reke boshi kibiri abakabaraba. Baraba kabaraba shiki brende berebe kiri abaraba bandaraba. Bakabaraba siti bereme kabrandere meke brendebe. Pray and commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Pray that God will speak to you tonight. Pray. Kabronde. Kebrende mekari abakabranda makaya baskataraba. Reke brondo meske berebe ndere meke brende mekiri berebe. Kaya baraba kabrandarama kabrandarababa rababando rebeke brende maskata baraba reke borondo sika barande beke benderie bebe ramamando maskata ya baraba bande rebe. Yes, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, O God, tonight. Ala boske brende mekeria bakabrandasa. Speak to us, O God. Speak to our hearts, O God. Mandere beke brendere rakata tabaraba mandere meke brendere mesata barababa. Raka basoto merendere meke benderebe. Ramama mandoro moke brendereme. Kerere seteria baba. Makata, 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 barabanderebe. Raka boromo sike brendeme keriebe kebrenderia. Maron dereme seterebe. Kabrandas. Rakata barama kabrondos. Keboro sike berere. Meke berende bereaba kabrandas. Rika baraba sata baraya baba. Bandoro moke brendes. Reke boromo site beneme. Kandara baba. Pray. Mandere be kebre ya barababa, bandaraba. Be kerebe ya basatarama. Mondere me kebrende. Speak in tongues wherever you are. Kabara Bible says that anybody who speaks in an unknown tongue edified himself. So edify yourself even before the preaching comes. Kabrondo. Rekete bere me kabranda makaya barababa. Rasa tabara ma kebrende ne me kerie berebe. Reboro mo se te bere berebe. Makabaraba satabara ma kabrande. Speak in that spiritual language that God has given you. Speak it out. Kabrondo. Tonight, O God, at the Green Side, we pray that you speak to our hearts, O God. Rekaboso toromo kebrende. Kayabande rebe. Ramamama satarabaraba kabrababa. Rekebere resetebere. Makatabara mama. Bless the Lord of my soul. Just thank God for tonight. Thank God for tonight, somebody. Manderebe kebrenderebe. Rasa tabarama kabrababa. Mandoro meseke brende mekeria baba. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's kept you and us alive. He has kept us from the coronavirus. And he's going to keep us from this virus. Le cabronde rebe. Give him praise. Bakabandoro mo sike brendes. Rakatabara makabrandara makabrandara. Rikerere kerere kerere kerere. Makatabara makabrande mekeria bebe. Masoto morondo mokobondorio bebe. Rakabaraba basatarababa. Speak to me. Just pray to God and ask the Lord to speak to you. Speak to you specifically tonight. Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your mother, not your brother, but to you tonight. Pray, pray. Lift up your voice and pray that God will speak to you tonight. Masotorobo, masotorobo, rakatabara mama, ramandoro mo sekebrendere, reseteme mandoro mo kabrababa, ramasotoro mo kobruru, rikabara basatara ma kabrandere, rebesetebelebelebele yababa, mandoro mo kebrende masketebelebebe, rabo si kabarandere me kebrende yababa, masatabaraba, kabarabanderebe, rekerebe kabrono mo sotono mo. Rikaborobo sikebrede yabaraba, kabrandere mesete, rikabaraba, satamaya mandereme, bre masondo romo kebrono mkeri yarababa, masatabaraba babaraba. Blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Masite bereme kabrandarama. Blessed be Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone who has tuned in from near and far, all across the Caribbean and even in North America. Thank you, O God, for tonight at the green side. It is you who causes us to lie down in green pastures. I pray tonight indeed we will eat from your table. And the Lord, you will strengthen us. And you will cause us to be strong and be bold and to be established, O God. Let us, O God, feed from your mighty hand, even as you speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah, you're welcome. God bless you. All right, so we are talking about how to neutralize a curse. How to neutralize a curse. All right. We are looking at the fact that curses are very, very, very important. You cannot take your eyes off a curse. Curses are very real. Curses are very, very, very significant. When somebody is cursed, it is out of this world. When somebody is cursed, or when a curse is upon somebody, you see a very negative trend. You see a very bad trend. You know, so we're trying to look at curses. And I believe that, you know, many Christians and many people do not respect curses. Many people rather are concerned about demons and devils and, of course, what an enemy can do. The Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Indeed, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, with rulers of the darkness of this world, and with spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, that scripture, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, has been so magnified in our lives as Christians, as Pentecostals, as charismatics, as evangelicals, that sometimes we actually forget the power of curses. Remember, anything that happens in this world, the devil needs a place. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, that neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. It means that when the devil, you give a place to the devil, that is when he can actually take over or take control of you. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 30, that the Son, the Prince of this world, cometh, and he has nothing in me. The Prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Remember, it is what you have in you, what you are open to. It is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. If you look at Eve, the temptation of Eve was successful because Eve found the apple very good to look at, and she felt it was very good to touch, and it was very good to also taste. So it is the space that we provide for the enemy that gives him the power over us. That's why the Bible says that neither give place to the devil. The Bible says offense must come. Offense must come. But woe unto the person through whom the offense must come. Or the offense will come. You get it? So the devil is there. The devil has no power until he gets somebody to use. Until he gets a vehicle. And I believe that curses are doors. Curses are avenues that the enemy uses. If you are cursed, the devil actually steps in. If a negative word is spoken over you, that is where demons come in. It is the things that we believe. For example, in Guyana, one of the things that many people believe, you know, that I find very interesting is that when you go to a wakekeeping, and then you are coming home in the night in Guyana, it is believed that when you're coming home, you have to enter your house backwards. So you don't enter your house coming from a wakekeeping in Guyana, you don't enter your house going forward. You actually enter your own house backwards, reverse. You reverse into your own house. I mean, they are saying that it's possible that some jumbi or some spirit might be following you. So I don't know where this thing came from, but it's like, if you turn and you enter your house backwards, maybe you can see what is following you. You can probably just slap the thing, slap the person, or I don't know what you can even do if a jumbi, a spirit or something is following you to your house. But you see, it is the giving in to these things that gives that enemy a foothold. Do you get it? It's the giving in to these things that makes the devil have power. So Satan doesn't have power until and unless we give him some power. I mean, many people, I don't know how many of you have been to a funeral and I've seen somebody being buried with shoes. People don't bury their loved ones, no matter how much they love them, with shoes. Why? Because many people believe, and it's become a tradition, that if you bury a dead person with shoes, then in the night, when you go home to sleep, that dead person comes around and then walks around with the shoes you bury them with. And so it has become a norm. It has become a tradition that people don't put shoes on their very loved ones. I mean, you look at it. Your dad, your mom, you say you love your dad, you say you love your mom, and when she passed away or he passed away, you put on your dad the best clothes. I mean, even though his size had increased, you put on your dad the nice suit, the nice shirt, the nice bow tie. However, you don't give him shoes. Why? Because people believe that your dad or your mom or some jumbi will come, or some spirit will come walking in the house making noise with the shoes. Now, if it's almost as if you try to do that, you will invite that spirit in your house that night. It is the room we give. And I believe that curses are also room or spaces or avenues or doors we give for the devil to have control over our lives. And so curses are something we should really, really look at very, very, very much. Now, before I start going through the book Neutralizing, How to Neutralize a Curse by Bishop Dagwood Mills, I want to read something to you from Deuteronomy chapter 28. God was talking to the Israelites and he gave them things that when they do, they'll be blessed, and things that when they do, they will not be blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. The Bible says that, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Are you listening? Please listen. "It shall come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." That all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, this is very, very simple. I'm talking about how to neutralize a curse. And I'm trying to help you understand that curses must be respected. Many Christians, many believers, many unbelievers don't care about curses. But curses will actually separate you from success. Curses can actually take you down the drain, as we learned last week, and we're going to continue this week. This is what Moses said. Moses said, in Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15, he says that, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God," if you not listen to God, "and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses," not demons, not Satan, not the devil, "that if you don't listen to the voice of God and follow his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses," are you listening? "All these curses all these curses, Dr. Douglas, all these curses, not the devil, not the voodoo priest, not an opium man, not a juju man, not a pandit, not Sai Baba, not Antoine Sonyama. It's not any diabolic power. But he says, the Bible says, that these curses shall come upon thee, and it shall overtake thee. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Cursed shall thou be in the city. It means that whether if you're in New York, if you're in Amsterdam, if you're in Paris, if you're in Milan, or you're in Rome, if you're in Accra, if you're in Washington, if you are in Moscow, if you are in Frankfurt, if you are in Brussels, if you are in Luxembourg, wherever you may be, he says, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Not demons. It's not demons. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. It means that when you are cursed by not listening to God, you can be barren. You can be barren. When you are barren, sometimes people think it's some obia man, it's some witch, it's some wizard, it's some juju, is something that the devil is actually the one who is controlling. But it could be a curse. It could be a curse. Remember Abigail? No, remember Michal? Michal, that's Saul's daughter, who he gave to David. When she despised David dancing when the ark of God was coming back to Jerusalem. Bible says that, and she became barren. Her womb was closed from that day. It wasn't a devil. It was a curse. It was a curse. The Bible says in verse 18 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, that cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. Your body will be cursed and the fruit of thy land. The increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do. Let me read to you the New Living Translation, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 20. New Living Translation says that the Lord himself, when you don't listen to God, when you don't obey his commands and his statutes, the Bible says that curses shall come upon you. So there are many Christians that are walking in curses. There are many unbelievers who have not listened to the voice of God that are walking in curses. It's not a demon. It's not a juju man. It's not a voodoo priest. No, it is because you have been disobedient to the word of God and the commandment of God. So verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 28 says this. He says that the Lord himself will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in everything you do, until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. Can you believe this? This is not devils. This is not obia. This is not voodoo. This is not principalities. This is not a witch from your household. This is not a witch from your family. This is not a witch next door to you. It's not your neighbor. This is God himself. God is saying that if you don't listen to me, if you don't follow my commandments and my statutes, this is what will come upon you. Can you believe it? But that is what many of us, we don't focus on. He says, the skies above will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath will be as hard as iron. The Lord will change the rain that falls on your land into powder. No more rain, powder. How is the earth going to be fruitful when powder drops from the sky? And dust will pour down from the sky until you are destroyed. You see, so sometimes somebody can be sick. You get it? And then out of the sickness, a person dies. But we Christians can easily say that, oh, it's somebody who has done something to this person. Or maybe, you know, there's some witch in a family or something. You can easily go and see. You see, just even listen to this. Can you believe when you walk, you are walking in the curses of God, and you go and see a priest or you go and see a pastor to pray for you? When God himself a curse has been released upon you for disobedience, and then you go and see a pastor, you go and see a prophet for him to give you anointing oil, you use the whole world worth of anointing oil, and it will not help you. Because the Bible says that the Lord will change the rain. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. When your enemies defeat you, it's not because you are not strong. It's God who's causing you to your enemies to defeat you. I'm talking about curses. We need to respect curses. We need to take note of the things that we Christians do that are not in synchrony with the words of God, with the scriptures. You know, many I've come across many Christians who say that, you know what, I'm not perfect, you know, God understands, you know, many of the things that we say God understands. God does not understand. Is it when you are disobedient, how can you expect God to understand your disobedience? You just have to learn to be obedient. Rather than being disobedient and proclaiming and going around and saying that God understands. And so we are looking at curses. And we're saying that we must respect curses. Did you enjoy Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15? Ah, he says, listen to verse 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven directions. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. I mean, I don't want to continue because it's just too scary to understand and to know what curses can do to a person. Now, let's before I even go further, let's look at when the Bible says that honor thy father and thy mother. Right? Honor thy father and thy mother, so that it shall be well with you, and then your days will be long on earth. Now, if you don't honor your father and your mother, it is not a devil who is going to do something bad to you. It is not honoring that actually reverses, because you actually reap what you sow. Don't forget that. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you sow dishonor, you reap what dishonor brings. When the Bible says that, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, and then you say bad things about a pastor, you say negative things about a church, and then you say all kinds of things, you are the one who is actually inviting curses upon you. It's no devil. It's no demon. It is what you have been doing that is what has caused a curse to come upon you. So we need to respect curses. And we really need to pay attention to the things that we do that bring curses upon us. And so from last week, I started sharing from you from how to neutralize a curse from Bishop Dagwood Mills. And we're looking at 10 biblical definitions of a curse. 10 biblical definitions of a curse. I said that the first point is that a curse is an appeal to some supernatural power to inflict evil on someone. So it is an appeal. Somebody appeals to a supernatural power to inflict evil upon someone. Curse number two, or the second definition of a curse. A curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity of or misfortune will befall or attach itself to someone. So, for example, somebody owes you money, okay, and then you go to the person and you tell them, you know what, please give me back my money, and the person, oh, come next week. It's okay, no problem. Then you go next week. You get it? When you go next week, then the person, you go and you ask the person, where is my money? You ask me to come this week for my money. And then the person, oh, I'm sorry. Even though I asked you to come last week, I want you to come next week again. On Friday, I promise you, on Friday, I'll give you back your money. And then you go again next week, Friday. The person says that, you know, I'm sorry, even though it's the second week, I'm sorry, come again next week. This is the third week. And so you go to the person, and then when you go for the third time, the person is not there. But you can hear the person's voice in the person's house. And somebody tells you that the person is not there. I mean, you feel so bad, you feel so disappointed that you would want to say something, isn't it? You want to say something to that person. So a curse, the second definition from the Bible where curse is concerned, is that a curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach itself to someone. So when somebody owes you money and they don't want to give it to you, you know, sometimes you can say some things, isn't it? So I pray, you said, I pray that this person will never see day. Things like that. That is also a curse. All right? Number three, the third biblical definition of a curse is that to be cursed is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. We did 3 points last week. To be cursed is to be sentenced to demotion and inferiority. And so when somebody is demoted, when somebody becomes inferior, it's not a devil. It's not a demon. It is because that person has attracted a curse. Are you following? And so let us pay attention to the things that brings curses so that we can neutralize curses. Because when a curse is upon your life, let me tell you, my brother, let me tell you, my sister, you will do all that you can, but you see that there's something supernatural that will fight you, that will fight your progress, that will fight your moving forward, that will fight your establishment, that will fight you rising above anything. Are you following? So this evening, for the few minutes that we have, I want to look at number four. We did three definitions of a curse from the Bible's perspective last week. This week, I'm moving on with point number four, the fourth definition of a curse. To be cursed is to have continual sorrow. To be cursed is to have continual sorrow. Now, when somebody has continual sorrow, it's not a devil. But what happens is that the curse now becomes like a prerequisite. It becomes a qualification for a demon to attach himself to you, for a demon to enter into your life and then take advantage of the curse or the sorrow that you are being plagued with. Remember, a lot of animals, vultures, rats, mouse, all these kind of things, they like garbage. There are a lot of animals and flies that are attracted to garbage. It's the same thing. When you are cursed, then in fact you have become like garbage. You get it? And then the garbage now attracts other things. So you see, maybe an animal is dead, is by the roadside, and then it's smelling, and you see flies, you see insects, you see birds. So a curse is what actually opens you up to demonic attack and to things that the devil take advantage of. So the fourth definition of a curse, according to the Bible, is to have continual sorrow. Now, to have continual sorrow means that you are sorrowful repetitively, you are always sorrowful. The sorrow is continuous. The sorrow is frequent. It's unrelenting. It's like if you pass here, something happens that you become sad. If you pass there, something happens that you become sad. If you pass here, something happens that you become sad. Sustained sorrow. Sustained sorrow defines something as a curse. I mean, how can you live a life of sustained sorrow? How can you live a life that every now and then, every frequently, you are sad and you are sorrowful? Something got to be wrong. And that which is wrong is not the devil. It's not a witch. It's not witchcraft. It is a curse. Are you with me? This is why this world, if you look at this particular definition of a curse, that is continual sorrow. Continual sorrow. That is what the world and the earth is experiencing. The earth and the world is experiencing continual sorrow. Look at what we are actually in now. COVID-19. A pandemic. Coronavirus. It's not pleasant. So what is going to come next? We are not finished, you know. We are not finished. It is going to come again and again. We are not done with curses. We are not done with continued sorrow. That's why Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I'm finished, I will come back and take you with me." He says, "Where I am, there will you be also." And that is what Christians must look forward to. So when you are a Christian and you are looking for things here on earth, when you are a pastor and when you are an apostle or a prophet or whichever designation you have, and then the earth and politics and ethnic things is what you are into, you are one of the most saddest people, because no matter what you do, these things will continue. It's going to be a cycle. It's going to be one after the other. Unless you don't understand the Bible, unless you don't read your Bible, these governments, these people in power, they are going to inflict sorrow upon sorrow and upon sorrow upon sorrow. You wait and see. You live around this world or on this earth for a little while, you see and you understand what Solomon said, that all is vanity and a vexation of spirit. So the world is actually in sorrow. It's sars. Now you go back. We have been going through pandemics upon pandemics. Maybe you and I, this is probably one of our first that we are experiencing. That now we have to walk around wearing masks. You know, the other day I was watching a documentary on Michael Jackson. And, it just dawned on me that he was wearing a black mask. And I said, wow, look, he was going through his things in those days because of the sun or some skin infection or something like that. But look at us now. Social distancing. Could you believe it? Social distancing. The earth is also plagued. So it's not a devil. But of course, when these pandemics, these plagues begin, or when they take over the world, then the devil also comes in with the fear. Remember? The fear. The uncertainty. I don't want to go out. I don't want to come to you. I don't want to touch you. You must not do this. We cannot do that. All of that is kind of an addition of what the devil brings. The first is a curse. Don't think that what is happening in the world is because somebody in the lab in Wuhan, China, created something, or it's a biological warfare. You see, that is how it must come. But if you look at it from the biblical point of view, it's a curse. It's sorrow. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 17, the Bible says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Are you listening? "And unto Adam he said," God said, "because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it." My God. Do you know what is coming? God is telling Adam, that you listen to your wife in disobedience. Now, I know many of you out there who are married love your wives. I also love my wife. But you see, the voice of the wife is very important. The voice of your wife will either tip you to the right or to the left. Are you following? Now, it is amazing when sometimes people raise their wives. People put their wives on pedestals. People treat their wives like they are the Holy Spirit. Your wife is the Holy Spirit. Or your wife is Angel Gabriel or Angel Michael. You have to be careful with what your wife tells you. Many wives are working around like assistant pastors. They have influence in their husband's ministry. Praise the Lord, if that's what you believe in. Praise the Lord. But I think that you have to be very, very careful when your wife speaks. This is what happened to Adam. The Bible says God told him, because you hearkened to the voice of thy wife and then did something wrong where I am concerned. He says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Which ground? The earth. The ground that you and I walk on. The ground that we plant seeds in. The ground that we build our houses on. The ground, the Bible says, for thy sake, for Adam's sake, for man's sake, the ground is cursed. Listen to what the Bible goes on to say. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, in sorrow shalt thou eat of the ground all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Can you believe it? You will eat of the ground in sorrow all the days of your life. Now, the earth was cursed, which means that Europe was cursed. It means Africa, the land in Africa was cursed. It means the land and the earth, South America, is cursed. It means that so many... You see how... Even here in Guyana, you see how many people are in the interior, they are digging, they're, you know, looking for good pork knockers and these dredge owners. I mean, you look at it. You look at it. You look at it. People are so greedy. People kill one another for the gold. All kinds of things happen for the gold. Either don't kill you and you get gold and you sell, you have money, it makes you proud. It makes you feel like you're better than somebody, it makes you feel like you're rich. He says, in sorrow shalt thou eat of the earth all the days of your life. Many, you know, it is believed that most of the things we eat these days have a lot of chemicals. Pineapple, they spray it for it to get ripe. All the vegetables, tomato, all the things, they have chemicals in them. Why? Because the earth, 2020, the earth is still going through a curse. And then in sorrow, because we are trying for the earth to yield for us, we force the earth to make things grow and ripen through chemicals. Are you with me? So a curse is to have continual sorrow. That is why Jesus said, lay not for yourselves treasures here on earth. I mean, if you're a Christian and then you're blessed, you have a house, you have a car, you know, you get a few accomplishments, it's not bad. Nobody's saying that you should suffer here on earth. But let your heart, let your mind, let your focus be heaven. Because that is where we are going to be forever. You and I are going to be here on earth for at most. Even if you become a centenarian. 100 years. How many people get to 100 years? 70. 70. If by reason of strength, you probably get to 80. You and I are going to be in heaven forever. Your car will not matter. Your house will not matter. Your money will not matter. We cannot put money in your casket. In fact, it is so pathetic and so sad that right here in La Repentée, in Georgetown, for those of you in Guyana, right there they will bury you, where the place is stinking and has full of water. After all your money, after all your cars, after all your degrees, after everything, you cannot invest your time and your energy in the things of this world. The earth has been cursed because of Adam listening to his dear wife. Definition number 5. I've given you 4. Number 5. To be cursed is to continually have everything work against you. To be cursed means you continually have everything work against you. All the time. Not sometime. All the time. This means that you experience evil, you experience misfortune and death when you should have received goodness, good fortune and life. This is what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who just joined us, you have to respect curses. Whatever the Bible says that what you do will bring you curse, you have to respect it. It's not just a demon. It's not just a devil. Demons are nothing. I mean, in the name of Jesus, get out, they go. But when a curse is upon you, it causes you to continually have everything work against you. Everything works against you when you are cursed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18, how does it feel to have everything work against you? Anything you touch is not blessed. Everywhere you go, you don't have peace. Anything you say is not working. How would it feel? I mean, no demon can have such a power over you. Genesis 3:18. So therefore, have respect for curses from today. Bible says, thorns. So let me read from the 17 and I'll add the 18. Is that okay? You have permission for that? Wonderful. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and as eating of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns, also thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. So, you buy a land, you go to farming school, pharmacology or something like that, and go and learn all the tricks about farming. God told Adam that because the earth is cursed for his sake, thorns, also thistles, shall it bring forth. The earth will bring forth thorns and thistles to him. And you shall eat the herb of the field. Genesis 3:18. So it's like, no matter the seed you plant, God says it will turn into thorns and thistles. It's like everything you do will not work. You can go for deliverance service. I know people who go for deliverance service every week and they still have demons. I know people who go for deliverance service every week. I mean, I even wonder why you go for deliverance service every week. How many demons do you have on your life? Maybe you should look into your life. It's a curse that is operating. You have probably done something for something or for somebody to have said something over you. That is why your life is the way it is. And nobody can release you of that. For example, when Noah cursed his son Ham, can you believe if Ham had gone to see Prophet so-so-and-so, Prophet John Doe, and say, Prophet, please, everything I do doesn't work. Please pray for me. Now tell me if the prophet can go into the words and the mouth of Noah. I mean, let me even stay here a little bit. When Noah cursed Ham and said that the servant of servants is going to be, and Ham goes to see prophet something, prophet something. Let's prophet what? Give me a name. Prophet something. Go see Prophet James. James Bond, Prophet James Bond, and then goes and says, Prophet James, please, I see that this thing upon me, there's something working against me. Please pray for me. Now, think about it. Noah gave birth to Ham. Noah was the one, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was the one who God spoke to about building the ark. Noah was the one through whom Shem, Japheth, and Ham, Shem, Japheth were saved through the ark. It was Noah who was the originator of the whole salvation. Ham would have died if Noah, his father, had not obeyed God and had actually allowed him into the ark. And so when Ham is cursed by his father, you analyze it, ladies and gentlemen. How can you, Prophet James, take away something that somebody's father has placed upon them? What rights do you have? What power do you have than the person's father? And you see, and that's what many, many Christians don't understand. You go to a church, and then you do something against the pastor, and then there you go, you leave. And then you join Gobbledygook Revival Chapel of God's Power International Center. And then you join the church. They make you an elder in the church. And then you're on Facebook, jumping and singing and dancing. Meanwhile, the person through whom you became a Christian, you have offended that person and you have left the church. You've gone to this new church where you have what? Guitar skills or drum skills or keyboard skills or you're a prayer warrior. And just after 3-4 months, the bishop there or the prophet or the apostle there makes you one of the elders. And you are praying. As you are speaking in tongues, saliva is coming all over. Meanwhile, you have offended, you have ill-treated, mistreated the pastor, the apostle through whom you became a Christian. Tell me whether this your newfound bishop or apostle can take away that which you have sown and you are reaping from your life. That's why I'm saying that let us respect curses so that you will live your life properly. Me, I'll live my life properly. You don't want to do the things that the Bible actually says will bring a curse on you. So let's look, for example, let's look at tithing. Tithing. Bible says that if you don't pay tithe, you are cursed. You are cursed with a curse. Can you believe it? You don't pay your tithe. When you are paid, you look at it, you say, it's corona season. A tenth of my increase can help me. And then you don't pay your tithe. The Bible says anybody who does not pay tithe is cursed. Now, let's see how you see your way when it comes to your financial life. Let's see how you'll be able to manage the rest of your days. It is God Almighty who has taken control over your finances and said that you are cursed with a curse. Which job is going to make you prosper? Which job? Carigo? Caricom? ExxonMobil? Oil rig? Tell me which company. They can give you $1 million every month. You will not see your way. Because a curse is very, very powerful. It's very, very strong. It is something that can take you back into your past and make you like dry out. And make you become a proverb and a byword. Be careful of curses. Curses are very, very serious. Let me give you point number 6. and we close for tonight. Are you with me? So those of you church members who are walking around, you leave here, you go here. You leave here, you go here. You leave here, you go here. Good. Make sure that there's no curse operating in your life when you go to the next person. Do you understand? The bridge you use to cross the river, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. When David had the opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't kill it. Even the fact that he just cut a piece of his kingly robe, his heart smote him. Why? His first experience, no matter the anointing that was on David's life, the first opportunity to enter the palace of the king was given to David by King Saul. No matter what you think, David, with all his skills, David, with all his harp-playing abilities, could not and would not have entered the king's palace if King Saul had not sought for somebody who plays a musical instrument. Are you listening to me? I'm saying that Christians must learn to respect curses, even more than the devil or more than demons. If it wasn't King Saul, David would not have had the opportunity to play the harp. I mean, when Saul always wanted David to play the harp for him in his depressive moods, I am sure Saul would have taken David to one of the nicest chambers in his palace. Who gave David the opportunity to see those places? It's King Saul. And meanwhile, whilst David was anointed, Saul was also king. So when Saul was following him and wanted to do so many bad things to him, when David got the chance to kill Saul, he didn't. Why? Because you don't want a curse to come upon you. David had all the reasons to kill Saul. But remember, Saul was still the king of Israel. So that's what I'm saying. Don't do things anyhow as a Christian. It is the bad things you do. It is the negative things you do. It's the things that bring curses on us that actually also invite demons and devils into our lives. Are you with me? Maybe you are listening to me tonight. I want to tell you, you don't make sure that you do things right. Bible says, God is righteous. God is just. If you leave a church, make sure you leave well. If you're gonna relate with people, make sure, as much as it rests on you, be at peace with people. Because curses are very, very serious in this world. So let me give you the last definition of a curse from the Bible, and then we will close. Number 6, the 6th definition of a curse. To be cursed is to sweat, to struggle, to be agitated, to suffer. Number 6, definition of a curse from the Bible is to sweat, to struggle, to be agitated, to suffer. You see, the fighting, the struggling, the toil, and the labor in our world are the evidence of a curse. Now, maybe in our country, Guyana, struggling might not be, that serious. But if you go to these developed countries, if you go to America, North America, you go to, Europe and all of that, you see struggle. Hey, I remember when I used to live in Europe, sometimes I used to do work just 2 hours a day. 2 hours in the morning, 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., I'll just go and clean somebody's office block. You know, so by 7:30 I'm done so that the workers can come in. 2 hours a day I used to work. You know, I used to live with my big sister, and so that little money used to kind of help me. When I got my own apartment, in Europe, and I started working, and I started going to the university, it wasn't easy for me because I had to go full-time university, and then in the evening go and do some cleaning also. You get to do some 2 hours cleaning, and I'll get a little bit of money. I tell you, I was broke. I tell you, when we had our first child, Lois, in 1999, on Resurrection Sunday, 4th of April, 1999, I was so poor. I was so broke. I mean, in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, the land of what? The land of cheese and milk and these flowers. Have you forgotten about the names of flowers? The klompens and the milk maishes and all them fancy things that you have in Amsterdam and in Holland. I tell you, when we had our first child in 1999, my God, our first daughter, was born 7 months premature. And when my wife threw a cesarean section and the baby was taken, there was an incubator right next to my wife whilst they were trying to do the CS. And I was standing there with another nurse who was trying to, you know, squeeze me and make sure that I don't black out, I don't collapse. When they took the baby girl from my wife's womb and put her in the incubator, she was so tiny. And she was 7 months and her lungs were not fully developed. And so they had to keep her in the incubator for the next 2 months before, you know, we were finally allowed to take her home. Now, for the 2 months that our first daughter Lois was in the hospital, my wife and I, we used to walk to the hospital. We used to walk. My God. We used to walk. I didn't have money to even take a bus. They go and then we go and sit by the incubator. We'll sing to the girl and pray and sing praise and all of that. I tell you, you're struggling, sweat. You. Maybe you live in a developing country, so you don't understand what it is. Because here in Guyana, when it rains, you don't go to work. When it rains, you say, "Me house flood." They don't go to work, and they will pay you. If you are living abroad, you got to do two jobs. They call it two jobs. One in the morning, one in the evening. A friend of mine many years ago said that he was doing two jobs in the States. That when he comes back from the first one, he doesn't even go into the house to sleep. He just sleeps in his car. He just calls his wife. The wife comes to give him food. He sleeps in the car so that he doesn't enjoy the comfort of the bed because he has to go back to work in the next 2 hours. Struggle. You see, the earth, when something is cursed, there's sweat, there's struggle, there's agitation. Many of the struggling going on in this world is because of the curse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 19, my last scripture, and we will close. And unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee." Remember, I said, listening to wives, you have to be very careful. Some of you who your wives control you, especially pastors, don't let your wife control you. It's not love. I'm telling you, it's not love. Watch it. "And has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field." No curse is going to have power over you from tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that any curse pronounced over you, I take authority as your shepherd and I nullify the curse in the name of Jesus. Receive it wherever you are. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." I pray for you tonight that you not sweat, that you not struggle, that you not be agitated, that you not encounter continual sorrow. But I also want to advise, if you have done something wrong to somebody, the Bible says that leave your gift at the altar and go and make peace with the person who has ought against thee. Don't walk on the surface of the earth with people saying bad things about you, especially when you have actually done what they are talking about. You see, there are so many things that go on in this world. People say all kinds of things and people say things about people. fine. I mean, if you are not guilty, it's fine. But if you do something, let's say if you owe somebody money and you don't give it to them, you actually will cause somebody to say something to you and it shall come to pass. And so I pray for you tonight that no matter the curse, no matter the pain that you are going through and you're experiencing, I pray to God, my Father in the heavens above, to break that yoke over your life. The yoke over your shoulder, the yoke over your neck, the burden on your shoulder, I command it to be broken, and I pray for your release right now in the precious name of Jesus. But I pray, and I want to plead with you that if you remember doing something to somebody or living somewhere in a wrong way or holding on to somebody's property that you don't have to hold on to, please, my prayer, my pronunciations, my declarations will not work unless you reverse what you have done. I pray for you, my dear brother. I pray for you, my dear sister, that your life here on earth will be that of the Israelites in Egypt, that a difference will be made between you and that of your neighbor, and that whatever goes on in the camp of the Egyptians will not go on in your camp. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May he cause you to do well. May he cause you to prosper. It is he, the Bible says, gives us the power to get wealth. May God himself take you forward and take you further in this world. May he protect you. May he guide you from the coronavirus. May you not be affected by the virus in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray. I thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching on curses. I pray that anyone who is listening, anyone who listened, anyone who's going to even watch this live stream after we are done, will learn and will take steps that will remove curses over and upon their lives. Let freedom be that which you give to your people. Let your people be free. Bible says, by the cross of Calvary, you set us free. But the things we may have done thereafter may have caused things to come upon us that we should not be allowing, we should not be facing. But I pray, the Lord, you will release your people, that you remind them of what they did and what they have done, and that corrections will be made. Thank you that your people are moving forward and that progress has come. That sorrow is gone, that the curse is broken, the curse is neutralized. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're watching me this evening, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give your heart to Jesus. Pray this simple prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe that Jesus is alive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Say it, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.